my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 123 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. Yes, it is the magic 123rd episode. And Chad is going to be the guest. We're going to talk about WrestleMania. And Chad, I don't want you to feel like you're the consolation prize, but I want you to guess something. I was trying to get a former WWE superstar to be a guest on the show. I reached out to him and his people. It fell through, but can you just guess who it might be, just because this is episode 123?
So I'm guessing it's not the Big Cass Enzo interview.
No, that was going to be next week as a promotion for WrestleMania through the TV station I work at, and for some reason it was sponsored by Snickers, and I don't know all the details, but I got an email last week saying that they had to cancel the interview. So no, it's not Big Cass and Enzo.
Okay, well, I'm going to guess then that the logical answer would seem to be Sean Waltman.
You are correct.
Who I'm still debating on. There's an event out here in a couple of weeks with him and Ron Funches of TV shows Undateable and Powerless. And I don't know why it's on August 15th instead of August 20th, but it's called Getting High and Watching Wrestling.
April 20th.
April 20th, yes.
You're debating going, right?
I'm debating going, yes, because one, I don't get high, but I do enjoy watching wrestling. But I don't know what the actual event is going to be. But if I end up going, I will see if I can talk to X-Pac and ask him why he wouldn't be on your show.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, he's part of, this is WrestleMania week. This is why this week's theme is all about WrestleMania. But I didn't know this until earlier today. I heard on another podcast that X-Pac, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Shawn Michaels are doing it seems like now WrestleMania week has just turned into a bunch of former superstars coming into town and doing the spoken word things. And the click, if you will, is doing something that weekend of WrestleMania as well. And I guess it's worth noting that this is the we've been to 9 WrestleManias since 2006. We're sitting this one out again this year for a couple of different reasons. But I think once we get into this, we'll know your reasonings more so, I think, than mine. But are you at all saddened? And I don't know if sad's the right word. I'll be honest. I'm a little bummed that we're not going, but I think that, you know, it was the right decision to make this year, and we're going to Money in the Bank instead, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I am disappointed, and I am traveling to New York the week after WrestleMania, just mainly because I've always, for the last pretty much 10 years, I've always traveled around this time of the year, and without going to Mania this year, I just felt like I needed to go somewhere, and New York just happened to fall into some categories that I needed to check off my travel list. So I'll be doing that. But yeah, I'm disappointed. Not disappointed, but yeah, there's a part of me that feels like, I guess, incomplete by not going. Although, as you said, once we get into the show, it'll be very obviously why, for me at least, I chose not to go. And there's so much, as you mentioned, there's WrestleMania weekend, and I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, because I do feel like part of it is just lesser-known companies trying to piggyback off the success of WrestleMania, but WrestleMania weekend has definitely become a bigger event than just WWE, and, you know, WrestleCon, I looked at the lineup a couple weeks ago of WrestleCon, and I would say this is probably the biggest group of talent, but they've had it one event. And then you've got Jim Ross's show, Bruce Pritchard's show, all the independent shows, and I guess this Click thing. I mean, obviously, had we gone, there is so much to do that even if you're not a WWE fan or the WWE doesn't put on something that appeals to you, there is so much more to do that I would suggest for a wrestling fan in the future. You know, if you don't want to spend the money for WrestleMania, just go and do everything else.
Yeah. And I do want to also plug Mania Crawl one more time. It's a great fundraiser event centered around gathering as wrestling fans, taking pictures and drinking some beer, having a good time. So in the archives, it was a couple weeks ago that show was on, but you can check out Mania Crawl on social media as well and get up to date on that. Without any further ado, though, Chad, let's talk about WrestleMania. It is this Sunday, obviously, if you've been living under a rock for the last 9 months, but the rundown on WWE.com, and I'm just going to go down the list as they have it ranked, and we are recording this before Raw, so I'm anticipating at least one other match being added to the mix, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes as well. But the top of the list, which kind of surprises me the way they have it billed, but I don't think it's going to be put on the pay-per-view this way, is the WWE Championship, Bray Wyatt defending against Randy Orton, who, of course, won the Royal Rumble and was a part of the Wyatt family. I did not like the execution of this angle with Orton saying he wasn't going to take the shot and then ultimately ends up still in that title picture. I love the fact that Bray is the champion, but I fear, and we'll talk about this a little bit more too, I think that there's potential for every title to change hands at this year's event. At least it looks that way. I would love for Bray Wyatt to somehow retain, but I don't know that that's going to happen because, as we've talked about before, you never bet against Randy Orton.
Yeah, this is just so much bad storytelling here. One, there's one rule that you always go with. Don't ask Randy Orton to act. He's not good at it. He's not believable. The storyline with Bray just, to me, never made any sense from the time that Randy joined Bray to turning on Bray. I agree with you that once Orton said, "I'm not going to fight you," he should have lost, especially since they then set up the Battle Royal. And then they had the Luke Harper versus AJ Styles match to see who would take on Bray. Orton should have been out of the picture. I'm not looking forward to this match. And I kind of also am disheartened that Luke Harper has kind of been forgotten about over the last few weeks. If they would have made this a triple threat of Bray versus Luke versus Orton, I probably would have been a little more interested, but Randy Orton anybody who's been reading the blogs or listening to this podcast knows I am not a Randy Orton fan. He just does not interest me at all as a performer, and I would, especially since the title has already changed four times, I believe, this year. Like, if Orton wins it now, it's the hot potatoing of the title is very reminiscent of the Attitude Era and the Russo Era. I would like to see Bray have a lengthy reign, but I'm with you. I think Orton walks out as champion. I don't know why.
Alrighty, and this match, if you don't want to hear a rant, go ahead and fast forward for probably the next 10 minutes or so, but we've got the Universal Championship. Goldberg defends against Brock Lesnar, and I'll let you take the floor first.
Okay, let me throw this scenario out to you. 13 years ago, right after, say, the day after WrestleMania 20 happens, We're talking, I tell you, in 13 years, there's going to be a match that will headline WrestleMania for the title between Goldberg and Lesnar. What's your reaction?
No way. I wouldn't believe it, and I wouldn't want to see it because that match at 20 was kind of a stinker. There's no way I would have thought, especially for the championship.
Yeah, well, and here's my several points of problem with this match. This match was booed out of the arena at WrestleMania 20. The only reason people cared about the match was because of the referee. Now, granted, people knew it was Goldberg's last day on his contract, and Lesnar had just given notice that he was quitting. So you can kind of say, like, okay, the fans were rejecting it because they knew the guys weren't sticking around. Now we're 13 years later. By all accounts, this is probably Goldberg's last day, and Lesnar only wrestles 2 or 3 times a year. I don't understand why fans are excited about this match. Also because ever since Suplex City became a thing, Brock Lesnar has not been interesting in a match. You look at his match with Dean Ambrose last year at WrestleMania, which should have been, you know, a very entertaining match, and it's just Lesnar doing suplexes and nothing else. Goldberg, who has taken 2 bumps since coming back in November, I hope I am proven wrong, and this match is actually way better than it has any right to be. But given all the players involved and everything surrounding this match, I just can't understand why anybody, one, thinks this is a good idea, and has any interest in this match whatsoever.
Is it because it's for the championship, do you think, or is it because you don't want to see this match regardless?
Little from A, little from B. Yeah, I don't understand why you would have part-timers fighting over your title. You know, you can make the argument that part-timers have a place on the show, and if you want to bring in the star power and try to get casual viewers to watch, fine, I'll accept that. But to go for a title match just, I think, undermines the guys that are there week in, week out, as we've discussed many times. And two, you know, Lesnar lost in less than 2 minutes, or just over 2 minutes, at Survivor Series. Goldberg easily got rid of him at Royal Rumble. There's nothing in this match that says, you know, and then you add in Goldberg winning the title in 10 seconds after the match actually started. There's just nothing here that makes me think that this is going to be anything worth watching.
I don't disagree with you. And I was pretty boisterous about all of this after Goldberg won the championship, after he beat Brock Lesnar for that matter too. And I've had an epiphany of sorts, and I wrote a blog about it talking about the attraction and the celebrity and part-timers coming in and making WrestleMania get that feel and that. And obviously, there is a segment of the population in the WWE universe that still wants to see Bill Goldberg come in and kick ass like he has. We're not in that boat. But I do agree with you on this should not have ever been a match for the championship by any means. You know, destroying Kevin Owens the way they did, to me, yeah, it does not help anybody 6 months, 12 months, even 2 or 3 years down the road, other than that quick nostalgia pop. And here's a guy that we all cheered for 17, 18 years ago. Let's kind of relive that moment, I guess.
Yeah, I don't get why the title was here, other than maybe that was the only way to entice Goldberg to stick around, you know, so that his son can see him as champion. Mm. But then you're appeasing one person over your entire fan base. And I think it doesn't discredit, but the way Goldberg beat Owens made Owens look a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go along with the Kevin Owens character.
I agree. The Undertaker faces Roman Reigns, and we've talked before about The Undertaker, the streak, with it being over. Does it matter anymore? You know, is The Undertaker's matches still those high-profile attraction matches? Obviously, last year with Shane and the Hell in a Cell, it was a featured bout. This is obviously being pushed towards the top of the card as well. You know, with the streak being over, I don't know, do people care about The Undertaker anymore at WrestleMania? I think there's still, again, that nostalgia for him, but does it matter? And, you know, will they finally pull the trigger on Reigns turning heel by having him beat The Undertaker?
Well, if the rumors are true of, you know, eventually going to a Reigns-Lesnar rematch for the title, and possibly with the setup of the two guys who beat Taker at Mania. I don't see a heel turn for Reigns. I think the fans, based on reaction, would have been more interested in a Taker-Strowman match than a Taker-Reigns match. And by all accounts, the way Taker looked on Raw this past week, like, I don't think a lot of people are really expecting a whole lot from him. And I read yesterday that there is talk that this could be Taker's last WrestleMania because he's just old and not doing well, pain-wise. But, yeah, this is a match that, again, we're not the target demographic anymore. I get that. I think after the streak ended, that should have ended Taker at WrestleMania. I don't have interest in any of his matches. I barely had interest in them when the streak was still around because I thought Taker had outgrown his usefulness. And this is just, I think this is just another example of trying to get Reigns over. But I think having him beat Taker is going to actually push it more to where the fans will reject him more.
Mm-hmm.
But then if Reigns loses, you know, it's this thing where, okay, you're losing to a 50-year-old broken down part-timer. So does it, and maybe we're over-analyzing and over-criticizing the importance of wins and losses and that the average fan doesn't actually care about. But I have no interest in this match as well. I expect Reigns to win. But I hope this is the last match for Taker.
All right. Shane McMahon faces AJ Styles. I think there was speculation that AJ was going to be a bigger part or a perceived bigger part of WrestleMania as far as wrestling for the championship. I guess it also came out last week that Shawn Michaels was approached about wrestling AJ Styles. And then there was talk many months ago about Shane McMahon wrestling Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania because of, I guess, the seeds kind of planted at the Survivor Series, although I'm reading that Brock Lesnar did not want to have a match with Shane at Mania. So we've arrived at this. To me, it is what it is. I think that Shane is a great performer. I think AJ Styles should go over in this. And hopefully we talk about that post-WrestleMania outlook. If Randy Orton is the champion, and assuming AJ doesn't get drafted to Raw, I would love to see AJ and Randy Orton wrestle for the championship, and of course AJ before the end of the year becoming once again the WWE champion.
Yeah, I don't understand the fascination with getting Shane McMahon a WrestleMania match. And I think there was several other options they could have gone with AJ that would have been better. But I give Shane credit. He does bust his ass when he's in a match. No, unlike some guys, Lesnar, who kind of just mail it in. And I think AJ is, you know, as his nickname says, phenomenal. But I expect them to have a good match. It's not a match that I think should be on the WrestleMania card, but out of everything else that is on the show, I have a feeling this will probably be one of the top three or four matches of the night. I just think AJ should have done something more after having been champion, and I think him losing to the title to Cena at Royal Rumble was a huge mistake. And I don't know, I just, so many booking decisions on this show just make me question what was going on. It's going to be a good match. AJ should win, hopefully. But yeah. Then maybe not. Maybe Shane wins and then trades him to Raw to get rid of him. I don't know. Or AJ wins and then Shane trades him to Raw to get rid of him so he doesn't have to deal with him. I don't know.
All righty. Well, the Raw Women's Championship is on the line now in a fatal four-way. Champion Bayley defends against Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. And to me, it just feels like we're getting the same women's matches week in and week out, pay-per-view for pay-per-view. We talked about this last year in the draft episode. I think it's still time to go back and have all the women on the same roster or on the same show. Because it just seems like we've seen all these matches or combinations of these matches happen. And again, I also am not crazy about the fact that Charlotte's pay-per-view streak ended last month at End of the Road, or Fastlane End of the Road, whatever it was called. I can't even remember the name of the show. And not doing it at WrestleMania, where it would at least, that's kind of the spectacle that you would expect something like that to happen, but maybe that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, I read something real quick that said, you know, Charlotte's streak ended. There were a couple other moments that had kind of been built up that have all been ended over the last couple weeks. Instead of saving them for Mania, instead of Mania being like the big finale of the season, it's now just another show.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I agree with you. I mean, I think all the women should be on one team or one show, and the cruiserweights should all be. I guess the cruiserweights are on Raw. I think this is more about poor booking, but yeah, it's just running through the same matchup instead. And it's, you know, they had the Sasha Nia Jax feud, but they haven't had a lot of feuds outside of the title match, if I'm remembering correctly. Because I know SmackDown does a better job of integrating feuds amongst their entire roster.
Yes, I would agree.
It's just, I don't know. This match, I'm actually expecting Nia Jax to win just because.
It would certainly be something different.
It would be different. It would be, you know, kind of like the Zack Ryder moment from last year. It'd be something unpredictable. And then she can drop the title to Sasha or Bayley the next night on Raw. And coming after the three-way match last year, obviously these four, I think, can put on a decent match, and we'll probably have, as I said, with AJ and Scott and Shane, one of the top three or four matches of the night. I'm just with you, though. It seems like a way to get everybody on the show without building up a solid, decent match.
Yeah.
We discussed it, I think, back on the Royal Rumble preview show. Like, this should have been Bayley and Charlotte's first one-on-one match.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Kevin Owens challenges Chris Jericho for the United States Championship in what should have been perhaps a title versus title match. You can argue that until the cows come home, I guess. I would suspect with the rumors of Jericho going on tour with Fozzy again in the spring that Kevin Owens will pull off the victory here. Jericho passes the torch and the U.S. Championship on to Kevin Owens, who is obviously, in my opinion at least, one of the highlights of Raw every week.
Yeah, I agree. This should have been title for title. I think it would have made more, would have had a little more intrigue. I was just watching WrestleMania 32 earlier this morning, and I am a little slow on the uptake, but I just realized that this is the second year in a row where Jericho's having a WrestleMania match against a former tag team partner that he was tag team partners with very short amount of time, and then the partnership ended just to get a match at WrestleMania.
That's right.
Owen should win, and I think that will help, you know, because last year Jericho went over AJ. And a lot of people were upset about that and thinking, hey, you know, it was more just putting someone over who didn't need to be put over. Whereas I think Owens could, after a title run that really didn't seem to make him the focus of everything, I think it makes sense to have Owens win, especially whatever they're doing with Owens and Joe and Triple H. Owens winning here makes the most sense, especially as you said, with Jericho leaving for a month. We'll see. Again, I don't have much faith in the booking, so I don't want to say that will be a foregone conclusion that Owens will win, but definitely it's the smarter decision. And again, I think this is probably, I'm going to put this as probably the second best match of the night when it's all said and done.
And I guess this match is going to be the best match of the night. John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse. Your silence is deafening.
A few weeks ago, John Cena ran down The Miz on SmackDown and was talking about how Miz and everyone else claims Cena politics his way into things. And he said, you know, this close to Mania, if I had any power, I'd be standing in the ring with The Undertaker, not standing here with you. And it just made, I mean, I understood where it was coming from, but it's one of those things that when you put it out there in public, it kind of just shows, it tarnishes the match that you're trying to build, because Cena is now saying Miz is not even, he shouldn't even have to waste his time with The Miz. And he should be with The Undertaker. And it makes me wonder why, what reasoning they had, other than, I guess, as we stated, if they want to do, if they're looking at Reigns versus Lesnar as the two guys to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, that somewhat makes sense. Instead of going with the only money match you have left with Undertaker, which is against John Cena. And then the way this match with Miz and Maryse is being promoted, you know, can they make it any more obvious? And I hope I'm wrong here, but can they make it any more obvious that Cena and Nikki are going to win, and then Cena's going to propose after the match? Which, you know, basic question, is this Cena's doing? Is this something they're doing to give the next season of Total Bellas some storylines? You know, for someone who has carried the company for the last decade, you would expect something better for him at this point? Or is this also, I read some theory that because Cena is starting to branch out and leave WWE more often, and I believe he's going to be leaving shortly after Mania for a while to do a film project, is this Vince's way of kind of, you know, being petty and humiliating him on the way out?
Yeah, I think the build-up has been good with the lost footage that The Miz and Maryse put together. I found it entertaining, but yeah, I don't know that that's, you know, WrestleMania-worthy, if you will, but yeah. This may be, other than WrestleMania 6, and I'm sure somebody will correct me, I can't remember another time where there's been this intergender tag team situation. It was the year with Snooki, right?
I was going to say, we were there.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember sitting behind us complaining that the Snooki match was going on so late in the show that he was offended that Triple H and Undertaker wrestled before Snooki.
That's right. I don't remember who was in the match, though. It was Laycool and Dolph Ziggler against...
Morrison and Trish.
Oh, yeah, okay. Morrison, Trish, and
Snooki. That was the thing where, like, after the match, Morrison didn't high-five Trish, and then he got put in the doghouse for it or something stupid like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one I know you're waiting for. The Intercontinental Championship, Dean Ambrose defends against Baron Corbin. The first time in the last couple of years that the IC title hasn't been up in a multi-man ladder match. So I think all signs point to Corbin winning here, which disturbs me on many, many levels.
Unfortunately, this is one year where a multi-man intercontinental match would have been much more preferred. I'm sorry, Baron Corbin is the new Randy Orton. He is so bland in execution and bland in personality, bland in bad tattoos. It's just, and Dean is just kind of there now. Like, you know, I don't know. It's, if we were in the arena, this would definitely be the time when I would go look at the merchandise and not buy anything. But it would be an excuse to get out of my seat and not have to watch this match.
Popcorn match. The SmackDown Women's Championship will be defended Alexa Bliss, and I like how they have this on the website, to defend against all SmackDown women who are available to compete. And right now in the picture, it's Becky Lynch, Carmella, Natalya Neidhart, and Mickie James. Which obviously Nikki and Maryse are in their tag team match, so.
Yeah, and I've heard the possibility of Summer Rae and someone else. I want to say Emma, but that wouldn't make sense since Emma's being promoted as possibly eventually sometime maybe showing up on Raw. But yeah, I mean, I guess this differentiates from Raw having a multi-woman match as well. I'm picking Carmella to win with help from the big hog, James Ellsworth.
Wow.
Just because, why not?
She's kind of been laying low in terms of competing with the other women and has been focused more on the James Ellsworth thing. I could see that happening. I know somebody who would be excited about that, but that's a bold prediction. I'd like to see, as much as we complain about the part-timers or the old-timers coming back, and I don't know that she's an old-timer, but I wouldn't mind another Mickie James run, even if it were just briefly. But that's a match that I think any of the women, I wouldn't mind seeing them win. So I wouldn't hate on anybody walking out. Or I wouldn't mind Alexa actually retaining. Excuse me, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think in all seriousness, if Naomi is able to compete, I think she'll be back and she will win.
And kind of build where they kind of dropped off with her.
Yeah, and I mean, because it's in her hometown, it would be, I guess she would get a pop for returning. So, we'll see.
Feel the glow. This next match, I'm going to need my special pants for. The Cruiserweight Championship, my boy Neville defends against Austin Aries, which this is another one of those matches I feel like, as much as I want Neville to retain and walk out champion, it just seems like Austin Aries is kind of that golden child, and they've been waiting for him to come back and be able to compete. So if not tonight, or if not at WrestleMania, I would imagine, and maybe that's what they'll do, is spread out this feud a little bit. But eventually I think Austin is going to win the championship.
Yeah, I can see that as well. I mean, I think Neville should retain and carry on his King of the Cruiserweights gimmick a little bit longer, but they have made a big deal about Austin Aries and this being his first WrestleMania and his first match. You know, he hasn't really wrestled a lot for WWE. So I think this would be a big moment for him. I predict, if given enough time, this could be match of the night. And I'm not even wearing Neville pants. but this is probably the only match on the show that I'm actually kind of looking forward to. And I don't even watch 205 Live. And I don't watch a lot of the Cruiserweight stuff on Raw because it just seems like an afterthought a lot of the time, but I know what both these guys can do in the ring if given the opportunity.
So yeah, do you think putting two more recognizable names into this title match for WrestleMania, because this was another one that I could have easily seen being, and who's to say it's not going to be a part of the pre-show or whatever they're calling it now, but just seeing that this one being a multi-man match as well, just to get everybody on the card, but I do feel like they're giving the Cruiserweights a little bit of love by making this a singles match.
Yeah, and I would expect probably a six-man tag to be put on to the pre-show with all the other guys. I'm kind of surprised as well, and I believe they're in town, but like Tyler Bates, the European champion or whatever it's called.
Yeah, United Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not on the show somewhere, or maybe they'll throw him on the NXT show, as that card is pretty lackluster at the moment. But yeah, I think going one-on-one is the best way to go with the cruiserweights to make it have a little bit of weight of importance.
Yeah, totally agree. The Raw Tag Team Championship will be defended in a triple threat match, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, which they're not calling the club anymore, at least not on the website. Enzo, Amore, and Big Cass, and Cesaro and Sheamus. This should be an interesting match. I would expect, although I thought Enzo and Big Cass were going to win the gold a while back, I still look for them to walk out as the tag team champions here.
You know, much like I think the match last month at the pay-per-view between the club and whoever, was it Cesaro and Sheamus that were champions at the time?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, this match would maybe have my interest if I hadn't seen this for the past 6 months on a weekly basis.
Right.
I don't care. I have lost interest in all of these teams because they just do the same thing week after week. And I think Enzo and Cass need to freshen up their act. I think they're cup of haters, and all that is just getting stale. And Sheamus and Cesaro are still not, they're not a team, but they are a team, but they're not, I don't know, it just, I would like to see Cassius Ohno run in and take out Sheamus before the match and then team up with Cesaro. And the club just, you know, let them go back to Southwestern Championship Wrestling or whatever it is where they came from.
Well, I don't know that, how many fans do you think would get? I mean, I think at the WrestleMania crowd you would, obviously, because that's a whole different dynamic, but would get Cassius Ohno coming in and taking out Sheamus?
Probably none, but I would enjoy it. So they should start booking just to please me.
Well, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's still a thing, isn't it?
Yes, that is still a thing. They throw in whoever's kind of left over, which I'm wondering several things, but so far announced for that, the Big Show, who was, of course, rumored to be taking on Shaquille O'Neal, that's not going to happen now. Kurt Hawkins, Apollo Crews, and Mojo Rawley all announced so far.
That is a massive Battle Royal they've set up.
Yes, so I'm curious by the fact that there is no SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. So, will they put all the Smack? What's that?
Well, on Talking Smack this week, after the Usos just beat American Alpha for the titles last week, the Usos were on Talking Smack and said they were wanting a WrestleMania match and telling Daniel Bryan those were the titles were their hall pass, but that gets them onto Mania. And so Brian said that he will think about it and try to come up with something. So I expect probably a four corners elimination or some type of gauntlet match or something for the SmackDown tag titles. It may just be on the pre-show, but
sure.
I think there will be a SmackDown tag title match at WrestleMania.
And I would anticipate, too, that, you know, last year especially, I feel like there were several legends, Tatanka, for example, Diamond Dallas Page, and then Shaquille O'Neal himself, the surprise entrance for the Battle Royal. So I don't think it'll all be WWE superstars that are not on the current WrestleMania card.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't. And plus, you've got the NXT crowd. You've got, I think, some of the United Kingdom guys will be in town. You know, with these rumors of WWE possibly trying to buy Ring of Honor. Can we see somebody showing up from there? I at the end of the match, I expect Braun Strowman to win or Mojo Rawley to win. Those are my two picks.
I'm going with Braun. what about, here's kind of the elephant in the room, so to speak. Triple H, Seth Rollins. I guess on Raw, if you're listening on Monday, tonight on Raw, Rollins is supposed to either sign or not sign some sort of contract. I kind of watched and listened, but half-heartedly, admittedly. So, but it basically sounded like it was going to be a street fight of sorts, so Triple H is not held accountable if he ends up destroying Seth Rollins. Yeah. So I'm anticipating that that's going to be a match too, but then what do you do with Samoa Joe?
Well, maybe you throw him into the Battle Royal and have him win. I don't know. It's, you know, and you have Sami Zayn still not on the show. Good question. Obviously, I believe Seth and Triple H will happen. And, you know, it only makes sense for Seth Rollins to go over, but, you know, 2 years ago we said it only makes sense for Sting to go over. And last year it only makes sense for Roman Reigns to go over, but not in a 30-minute match that dragged on for an eternity. So, I would say probably due to the no holds barred stipulation or no fault stipulation, whatever, that Joe would get involved in the match. And then, I don't know. But either way, Rollins should come out of this as the champion. Or not as the champion, but as the winner.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would actually, and not that, you know, no disrespect to Triple H, I would like to see Joe versus Rollins, but I guess they'll save that for down the road. And obviously you have WrestleMania with your attraction, if you will, and that would obviously be Triple H.
Yeah, because, you know, we got to put, why look towards the future when we can keep relying on stars of the past?
What do you make of the New Day being the host for WrestleMania?
I think they said, well, this is the most popular group that we have on our roster, and we have nothing for them since they lost the tag titles. And so we got to get them on the show somehow and put them in multiple segments where they can, you know, say their catchphrases and pimp their ice cream and whatnot. I'm trying to think. Because I know WrestleMania 24 was Kim Kardashian was the host, and then WrestleMania 27 had The Rock as host, and I don't remember Kim really doing anything of note. And then I remember The Rock, you know, spending the first 15-20 minutes of the show. Actually, it may have only been 10. It just felt like 20 minutes. Going through all of his catchphrases and then interfering in the main event match. So I'd be curious to see what. I hope that there is some actual plan in place for New Day to set something up coming out of WrestleMania for them, because right now they're just kind of treading water. And I think maybe, you know, maybe they should split up with Big E going after a singles title. I'm not going to make the obvious Xavier Woods comment that I could.
Thank you.
He and Kofi should be, you know, maybe refocus on the tag team division, or I don't know, maybe they could team up with Titus O'Neil.
All right, last question. The Raw after WrestleMania is always a big night. Do you think we'll see the Broken Hardys appear at Raw?
That's a good question. I definitely think we will see at least two people debut on Raw. I would not be surprised if one of them is not Shinsuke Nakamura. But the Hardys, yeah, because I believe the Hardys' ROH contracts only go until WrestleMania weekend. But then with this whole lawsuit with Anthem, like, I don't know, it's... If the Hardys do show up, I hope it's not like when the Dudley Boys showed up and just went back to being the Dudley Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see 1997 Hardy Boys show up. You know, I want to see 2016 Hardys. And whatever that means, I just don't want them to be going through the motions and redoing everything they used to do in WWE. So, but I would say, if not the Monday after Raw, I would definitely say within the next 3 months, the Hardys will be back in WWE.
Yeah, I agree.
And I believe, speaking of the Monday after WrestleMania, I believe this Monday on the WWE Network is the documentary about the Monday after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, will debut. I think it just came out on DVD, or it's coming out on DVD next week. And I've obviously not seen the show yet, but I know last year I was interviewed about the Raw after WrestleMania. So hopefully I didn't end up on the cutting room floor. So that will be something to check out and see if my ego gets boosted.
That's cool. I wasn't sure when that was going to come out. So you're saying it's going to come out the Monday after WrestleMania?
I believe that's what I saw, yes.
Cool. All right. Well, Chad, in the next closing seconds here, you've got a podcast that is called Positive Cynicism here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Why don't you give yourself here a plug and talk a little bit about your show?
All right. Yeah. Positive Cynicism. We've kind of taken 2 weeks off because we're kind of retooling and actually just me being lazy and not coming up with topics. But now we've moved it. It used to come out on Saturdays. It's now going to start coming out on Tuesdays. So, you know, Monday you have my 1, 2, 3 cents. Tuesday you have Positive Cynicism, and it's just a show that tackles random topics every week. Some are a little in depth, some are very superficial. It's all dependent on what I feel like talking about and what's going on in the world on any given week. I'm really trying to stay away from politics because I just hate everybody, and I'd be too cynical on the show. But it is. It's Positive Cynicism. Check it out. And yes, that's it. I don't use the Positive Cynicism Twitter handle because no one uses that anymore. So it's just at Chad Smart on Twitter if you want to contact me. Or there is the Positive Cynicism Facebook page, which once I get the podcast back up and going, we'll try to engage more on there because I'm really bad at using social media.
We're going to fix that, though. We'll have all of that linked up to the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page and Twitter accounts as well. Be sure to check it out, Positive Cynicism. Be sure to stick around for our WrestleMania recap. We haven't discussed it yet, but I'm sure we'll both be watching and texting each other during the show, and we'll come back together, put our heads together, and share our thoughts on WrestleMania. Not being there this year, just watching from our own homes or friends, and have a great week. If you are going to Orlando, let us know. And if you have a My 1-2-3 Cents sign and it makes TV even better, we'll get you a prize for sure. So thanks for listening and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.